Today's daf is Erechim daf Chof Beis, and we are up to the new perek, the sixth perek on the bottom of daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis. So Masechtas Erechim is a small Masechta. There are many small Masechtas, but what's unique about Masechtas Erechim, not a lot of dafen and a lot of prakim. So it's only daf Chof Beis. We're already up to the sixth Perek. Zok de Mishnah, Shum Hayesoimim, Shloishim Yoim. If Bezdin had to assess the property of Yesoimim because they were selling the property off, so they would go through a 30-day assessment process, meaning they wouldn't just assess the property and sell it, but rather, as the Mishnah and the Gemara is going to explain, there was a 30-day process before Bezdin was comfortable selling the Nechasim of the Yesoimim. The same is true for Hekdesh, for Shulma Hekdesh, Shishim Yoim. But whereas with the Yesoimim, it's only a 30-day process. When it comes to Hekdesh, it's 60 days. U'machrizim ba'boiku be'erev, and they would announce, they would do their thing in the morning and in the evening. So Shulma Yesoimim and Shulma Hekdesh are discussing two completely different halachas, even though they're going to come together in the early part of the daf, but really they're discussing different halachas. Shulma Yesoimim is in the event that a man dies, he leaves over Yarshim, the Yesoimim, and he leaves over Nechasim as well. So we know that just like Yarshim, the assets of their father, they also Yarshim the liabilities of their father. Now there's a lot of limitations as to when exactly Yarshim the liabilities. So for example, the halacha is if the father left over ordinary chayvis, it's not buchach that the yarshim are now going to be responsible for those chayvis. But where the chayvis are related to assets that the yarshim, so man dies, he leaves over a piece of real estate with a mortgage on it. So the yesoimim can't say, oh, we yarshim the real estate, but we don't yarshim the mortgage. No, it doesn't work that way. They're going to come together. So there is a concept of yarshim, yarshining chayvis, which means that the bal chayv will now be able to be goyva the chayv from the Yarshim, not from the father. The father's deceased. He's no longer alive. As we'll see in today's daf, and it's going to be the overwhelming theme of the daf, that in the event that the Yarshim are Kitanim, so the word Yesoimim in today's daf is going to be synonymous with Kitanim. Kitanim that are Yesoimim. So in the event that the Yesoimim were Kitanim, so there's certain halachos that the Chachamim instituted as it relates to how the Bal Chayv is able to go now and collect the debt of the Yesoimim's father. The first halacha is Shloishim Yoim. So in the event that the Bal Chayv has to go now and has to collect money, so we don't just say, okay, the father owed $1,000, he has a piece of property, let's assess the piece of property. Oh, the assessor said that it's worth $1,000, we're going to now take this piece of property or sell it, take the money, and give it to the Bal Chayv. There's going to be a 30-day process where we're going to put it and publicly announce that we're trying to sell this piece of property. The objective is that over a 30-day period, the word will get out. Anyone that was thinking about maybe buying this land will come and potentially bid on it. Like this, we'll be able to get the Yesoimim the best price possible. The same is true with Hekdesh. In the event that Hekdesh has to sell off a piece of karka, we want to make sure Hekdesh gets the best price. So there, it's not only 30 days, it's going to be 60 days. During those 30 and 60 days, the Mishnah says there were hachrozois, as in the beginning of Perek Elo Metzias, Ve'elu Chayovim Lahachris, they would make these announcements, they'd put a Pashkevillin, and they would do it Baboiko Be'erev. So, Baboiko Be'erev, why in the morning and in the evening? Come, Rav Yudah Merah. So, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, B'shas Hitzos Poyalim, U'Bashas Achnosas Poyalim. They tried to coincide it with the time that the workers go to work. That's Hitzos Poyalim, they're leaving to work. U'Bashas Achnosas Poyalim, when they're coming back. Why? B'shas Hitzos Poyalim, because we want that in the event that there's someone that may consider buying this property, he'll hear the hachraza at the time that the workers are out in the street. Amalu lepayalim, he's going to tell his workers, Ezilu, you know what? Why don't you try to make some time today during the day, Sairu la nahali, and go take a look at this piece of property on my behalf. B'shnas achnasas payalim. And then we announce it again towards the end of the day. Right, we do it at 9 o'clock, and then we do it at 5 o'clock again when people are going home from work. The nitker, because we want that balabas who told a worker or his worker, go inspect the property. Now we want him to tell the worker, no. So what did you see? The nitker, the amalu, nezu, nishaylu. Either way, the reason we do it in the morning and the evening is we're trying to make it as practical as possible for the Yesoimim and for Hekdesh, respectively, to get their best price. Tanya Nami Hachi, a brisa that says exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Shuma Yisoyim Shloishim Yoyim. Shuma Hakdeshishim Yoyim. Umachrizim Baboyker Ube Erev. Those were verbatim the words of the Mishnah. And then the Braisa continues and says what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav. B'shas Eitzahas Poalim U'b'shas Achnosas Poalim Oymer Sada Ployni B'simoneo U'b'mitzareo Kachi Yofe V'kachi Shuma. And here the Braisa adds already a little bit and says that the announcement was that there's a certain piece of property. This is the block, this is the lot, right? They would sort of let people know what exactly it is they're selling. This is what we think it is. This is how much we're assessing it. And then they would add, and they would say, we'll see what this means in greater detail in the Gemara. But they would mention specifically why it is that they're selling off the property. Meaning, why are we selling the assignment's property? There must be a reason. So if it's because the almana, meaning, if there's Yisoyimim, by definition, it means somebody died. So we're talking about where the father died, left over Yisoyim and the Amana. What happens when a man dies? The Amana is now entitled to Ksuba. So it's very possible that the reason that we're selling the Nichse Yisoyimim is so that the Amana will be able to collect her Ksuba. So if that's the reason, we would state it in the announcement. So the Pashkevillim would say it very, very clear. We're selling the Nechasim of the Yisoyimim, and we're doing it to pay off a Ksuba. If it was the Baal Chayv, like we mentioned in the intro, if it's a more traditional reason, simply there's a Baal Chayv that's coming to collect, we would say that also. Says the Gemara, lovely, the Meimar. It just feels like too much information. Like, why do we need in the Pashkevillim, in the announcement, to say that the reason we're selling the Nechasim of the Yisoyimim, do it for 30 days, do it Babayku Be'erev, coincide it with when all the workers and the payalim are adreizach in the gas. Why do we need to tell exactly why it is that we're selling it? So the Gemara says there's a practical aspect to this as well. The reason is the ikad dinichalei bebal choiv, the mekel bezuzi, the ikad dinichalei beisha, the shakla al yad. If the reason we're selling off the property is to pay off a bal choiv, chances are bal choiv is going to want all his money in one shot. I lent your father $1,000 in one shot. I didn't give it to him in 500 installments. So I want to get it paid back in one shot as well. Stating that the Baal Chayv will be makel potentially in that, being that he's a soicher, he doesn't need perfectly minted money, pun intended. You know, if there's some scratches and if the money's not perfect, the derek of the soicherim is to be able to deal with. Stating that, if the money's going to pay the Isha may not need the money in one shot, but at the same time, she's going to want better coins. So really, depending on whether or not the money's going to a Baal Chayv or the money's going to an Isha, that may impact the transaction. Because the terms of the transaction may vary depending on who the money's going to. Bezin's going to take this into consideration. If the money's going to this Isha, let's say a man comes and he says, you know, I'll pay top dollar, but I want it in installments. So if it's a Ksubas Isha, it may work. If it's for a Baal Chayv, it probably won't work. Or if a man comes and he says, listen, I'm willing to pay, but the money I have, the nickels and the dimes, they're all rubbed out, and that it's not good money. Okay, that may work for the Baal Chayv, it may not work for the Isha. Either way, it's material information as it relates to the transaction goes, and that's why it was included in the Achros. It's Zok Dimar Tanu Rabbanan, a Braisa that expounds on the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, Shuma Yisoyimim Shloishim Yoyim. The announcements of the Yisoyimim took place every single day over a 30-day period. Hektish, 60-day period. Zok Dimar Gemara, a Braisa that brings other Shittas. Shuma Yisoyimim Shloishim Yoyim, Shuma Hektish Yishim Yoyim, Divir Rameir. That's the Shitta of our Mishnah, which would seem to suggest that Stam Mishnah is Rameir, which it almost always is. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shuma Yisoyimim Shishim Yoyim, Shuma Hektish Tishim Yoyim, different numbers. So Shuma Yisoyimim is 60 days, Hektish is 90 days. Again, Hektish is more than Yisoyimim. It's 30 days more, but it's not 30-60. Rather, it's 60-90. The Chachamim say, there's no difference between Shuma Yisoyimim and Shuma Hektish. They're both going to be 60 days. Amar Rav Chizda said, Amar Avimi, in the name of Avimi, his Rebbe. Halach, Talach is Shuma Yisoyimim, Shishim Yoyim. Not like the Stam Mishnah, but 60 days. Yosef Rav Chiyah Bar Abim, the Kabbalah of Hashemite, Rav Chiyah Bar Abim said over what he heard from Rav Chiyah in the name of Avimi. Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yischak, Rav Chiyah Bar Abim, Shishim Kam, Ritoy Shloshim Kam. He says, I just want to clarify. Rav Chiyah said in the name of Avimi, 30 days or 60 days. Amalei Shishim. The Yisoyimim by the Hektish. Was he talking about Shuma Yisoyimim, or was he talking about Shum Hektish? Amalei the Yisoyimim. And then he said, Kirab Meir, Kirab Yehuda. Amalei Kirab Meir. Faith to Gemara, that doesn't work. If he said 60, and he was talking about Yisoyimim, Shum HaYisoyimim, according to Rav Meir, is 30 days. Rameh was the first of the three shittas in the Braisa, who we said is the Stam Mishnah, and the first words of the Mishnah, Shom Ayesoimim, Shloshim Yoim. Freit the Gemara, Varamei Shloshim Kamar, Amalei, he told him, Hachiyam Rav Chizda. I'll tell you what I heard from Rav Chizda. No, Rav Chizda said very clearly, in the name of Avimi, that Shom Ayesoimim, according to Rav Meir, Shishim Yoim, which is a blatant contradiction to Unzer Rav Meir, because our Rav Meir is our Stam Mishnah. He says it before us in the Brisa that Shuma Yisoyim is Shloshim Yoim. And when I called Rav Chizda out on it, I said, "What do you mean? How could you say that Rav Meir holds Shuma Yisoyim Shishim Yoim? Rav Meir holds Shloshim Yoim." So he told me that as follows. He said that when I heard this from my Rebbe Avimi, he said, "Me Avimi Kulfi Tavi Bali Alod Hashmaito." He said that I told him the same thing, and Avimi was hitting me. He was very upset at me, and he told me that, "What kind of question is that?" He says, "What do you mean, what kind of question is this?" Rav Chizda told Avimi, "You're telling me the Ramei holds Shema Yisayim of Shishim Yoim, and it's a Mefurish of Raisa, the Ramei holds Shema Yisayim of Shishim Yoim." And Avimi was physically hurting his Talmud Rav Chizda when he told this to him. So what's Pshat? So he told him, he says, "I'm going to tell you the Pshat. The Pshat is that they're both true. Ramei holds 30 days and Ramei holds 60 days. How's that possible? In the event that he's going to do it every single day, it's going to be Ritzufim, then 30 days. B'sheni b'chamishi, if he's going to do it on Mondays and Thursdays, Shishim, then it has to be 60 days. And even though if you do it Mondays and Thursdays over a 60-day period, it's not going to equal the 30 days Ritzufis that you had. It's only going to be 18 days. Rashi makes the cheshbon, but keeping the mashcha milsa shamiyinchi. Meaning, you have two options. Either you could do the achraza shema yesoyimim for 30 days straight, or you could do it every Monday and Thursday during the 60-day period, which, although you'll only end up being machriz for 18 days, but at the same time, you're doing it over a longer period of time. So every Monday and Thursday over a 60-day period is the equivalent thereof to every single day over a 30-day period. Incidentally, we're saying every single day. What about Shabbos? Are you allowed to make this achraza on Shabbos? So that's an interesting shaila. But regardless, the question is it 30-day ritzufos or 60 days Monday and Thursday? They're both options. They're both true. Which means even Rav Meir, who said Shuma Yisoyim Shloshim Yoim, would also potentially say Shuma Yisoyim Shishim Yoim. So Avimi taught his Talmud Rav Chizda Shuma Yisoyim Shishim Yoim. Rav Meir Shita in the name Rameh. Rav Meir Shita Shuma Yisoyim Shloshim Yoim. How could they both be true? The reason is because it's really two options. So either the Shema Yisayim was 30 days with Sufis, or it was 60 days, albeit in an intermittent way. So the Gemara mentions Avimi and Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda is mentioned throughout Shas, one of the most often quoted Amiram in Talmud Bavli. Avimi, not as often, but Avimi was Rav Chizda's Rebbe. And this is Exhibit A for that. Mefurish Gemara, where the Gemara says Rav Chizda was talking and learning to his Rebbe Avimi, and he was chapping flask for what he said. He wasn't saying good, and he thought he was asking a good question. And Avimi told him not that way. It's interesting. This exact Gemara is mentioned in another place in Shas, Mesechtes Menachos, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there says that Avimi forgot Mesechtes Menachos. Avimi forgot Mesechtes Menachos. Oh, Mesechta. And Avimi forgot Mesechtes Menachos. And he went to Rav Chizda, and he asked Rav Chizda to teach him Mesechtes Menachos. Right, the Gemara, Avimi is going to Rav Chizda. Doesn't the Gemara say that Rav Chizda once said over Halach in the name of Avimi? It was Negei Shuma Yisoyim Shloshim Yoyim. So when you're learning Menachos Dav Zayin, this sugi of Shuma Yisoyim Shloshim Yoyim is like a very obscure Halacha. But this is today's daf. So he said over Halacha about Shuma Yisoyim Shloshim Yoyim Shishim Yoyim, and Avimi hit Rav Chizda because he wasn't saying good, clearly implying that Avimi was the Rebbe and Rav Chizda was the Talmud. So if Rav Chizda was Avimi's Talmud, so why did Avimi go to the Talmud Rav Chizda and he say, "Talmud, teach me Mesechtes Menachos"? He should have called Rav Chizda and come to him. And the Gemara gives a teretz, and it's not clear what the Gemara's teretz is. Sober hachi mistayim losel tvei. He thought that if he goes to Rav Chizda, then he would have musiyata deshmaya, and he would be more matzliach in remembering and learning Menachos again. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Hachi mistayim losel tvei. Says Pshad is based on the Gemara of Megillah, Davava Mebeis, a Gemara that everybody knows. The Gemara says, if someone says, "Yogati umatzasi," and he felt that if he's going to be miyageya, he's going to give more effort into going and trying to learn Mesechtes Menachos, that's going to give him siyat d'shmaya. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz in the Sicha says that you see from here a tremendous yisoid. Because usually when you think of yigati matzasi tamin, you think in terms of the learning itself. So if I think more about a svar, if I spend more time on a black gemara, I harav more on a toisness. So that's going to give me more siyata d'shmaya. And obviously, if I do that, I'll be more matzliach. So yogati, the more I harava, the more I'm miyageya in the learning, matzasi, the better chances I have to be successful and be Moitzei Shalom Rav and actually be successful in my learning. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, from this Rashi you see that that's not the Nakuda, that's not the punchline. But the point is that the more effort and the more adversity that a person has to overcome in order to learn, whether it's thinking more about the Svara, or maybe it's trying to stay awake when you're tired, or it's Avimi going to his Talmud Rav Chisda and having the Schar Halicha and the Schar Psiyos, rather than sending Rav Chisda in a more convenient way to come to him. The more yegia that a person puts into his learning, the more successful he's going to be. I was thinking maybe that's why Avimi hit Rav Chisda, because he wanted Rav Chisda's learning to come through yegia. It should come from Yisurim, literally. But either way, so this is Avimi Lishitasa, who felt that there's a concept of Yagati Umatsasi, so he's hitting Rav Chisda, and he's going, but either way, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz brings this as a makar that you see from this Rashi, tucked away in Menachos, Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, really based on a Gemara, which is also tucked away in Erechin, Dav Chav Beis Amar Aleph, this concept of Yagati Umatsasi, Zok de Gemara Vaita. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. Rav Yehuda said, in the name of Rav Asi, Enes Gokin Lenich. So the Mishnah said, "Shum ha'yisoymim shloish shemiyot," which means that there are times the Bezdin will sell off the nechasim, the assets of the yisoymim. Again, yisoymim as in yisoymim kitanim. What about yisoymim gedolim? I am berishoyim. But for our purposes, for today's daf, we're going to refer to the yisoymim as yisoymim kitanim, which usually means below bar mitzvah. So we're dealing with yisoymim that are not bar mitzvah yet. They yarshin the nechasim from their father. There's a concept that sometimes Bezdin will sell off those nechasim. If they sell it off, they want to make sure they get the best price, so they make announcements in the morning and the evening, 30 days, 60 days, etc. Said Rav Yehuda, name Rav Asi, that this concept that Bezdin will go ahead and sell off nichsa yisoymim, it's not a hefkevelt. It's not something that they're always going to do. There has to be a very, very good reason for them to do it. Meaning, you'd think that if the father owed somebody money, that in and of itself would be a good reason. But as we'll see, that's not a good enough reason. There has to be a better reason than that. So there has to be a really, really good reason for Bezdin to feel that the right thing to do is to take these nechasim and go ahead and sell it. Zok de Gemara, what is that reason? Machloikis amira. So Rav Asi said, "In niskakin l'nichse yisoyim elim kein hoyser ribis aichelas bahem." The only time they did it was if the father had borrowed money. But now he borrowed money, he borrowed money on interest. So he's paying a lot of extra money, or the estate is right now, because of the ribis that's eating out of this estate. So that's a good reason where Bezdin will say, we have the assets, let's pay off this loan, and like this, we'll be able to fardin all this interest that's coming out of the estate. Rabbi Yechanan says, I agree with that, Rav Asi, but there's another reason. Another reason would be, the halacha is that when a man dies, he leaves over an estate, an almana, and yesoimim, almana nizoinis, Minachsi Yisoymim. It's the name of one of the prakim in Masechtas Ksubas. Almana Nizoynis, Minachsi Yisoymim. Which means that if there's an almana that's eating out of the estate, that too can be very costly to the Yisoymim. Now the halacha is the only time the almana gets to eat from the Yisoymim is as long as the Ksubas is outstanding. Once the Ksubas is paid off, she doesn't get any money anymore. In fact, once she's toiveya her ksuba, as we'll see in a few lines, even then the halacha is she loses her rights to the ksuba. So as soon as he says that, you know what, she sends notice to the yisoymim, I want my ksuba paid off. She sends a demand letter. At that point, she loses all her rights to the mezoinis. But the bottom line is, these are two examples of where the fact that there's an outstanding loan can really, really be impacting the estate. So Rav Asi said that the only time the halacha is that Bezdin will ever go into the estate of the yisoymim, start selling off assets and paying off debt, the only time they'll ever do that is if there's ribis aichelas. Rabbi Yechanan added to that. He said, "Oy l'shtar sheyesh by ribis, oy l'ksubas isha." This machloikis is very important because it will take up the majority of the remainder of the da. Says the Gemara, Rav Asi, my time l'imak ksubas isha. Why did Rav Asi only say shtar sheyesh by ribis? Why didn't he say ksubas isha? I mean, if you think of it logically, what's the difference? They both seem to be very similar, which is Rabbi Yechanan saying. The point is that if there's something that's eating out of the estate, let's just pay off the debt. So what's the difference if what's eating out of the estate is the interest payment or it's the mezoinus that you have to give the woman? So the Gemara says, no, there it's different. You know what? Because the kinu rabbanim, I see a debt. The halach is that although almana and mezoinus menechsi yisoymim, but this almana can potentially make money, and when she gets a paycheck, she has to give it to the estate. So it's really not that much money. Okay, so what's Rabbi Yechanan hold? So if the mezoinus that the estate is giving the almana is being offset by the maisi yadayim that the almana is giving back to the estate,
So isn't it a wash? So he says, no, not necessarily. Sometimes the mezainis is more than the ma'isi yadayim, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan was concerned about the mezainis being more than the ma'isi yadayim. So he said that for an amana, it's a good reason to go ahead and sell off the nechasim. Rav Asi felt nothing. The Mishnah said, "Tanat shuma yisoyim v'shloishim yoyim v'shuma hekdesh yishim yoyim u'machrizin ba'boikru ba'erev." We're focusing again today's stuff. The focus is shuma yisoyim. Says the Gemara, "B'mayaskin nilem v'balchoyv oivik echavim." Are we talking about where the balchoyv over here was an oivik echavim mitzayis? Is the oivik echavim going to listen? Meaning, we just said that you don't just go and start paying off chayvus of the father. You don't just start selling off his nechasim. And by the way, just to be clear, even though we said in the introduction that the halacha is that if a man dies and he has yarshim, the yarshim yarshim the liabilities, certainly if they're attached to nechasim, but that's true. No one's arguing with that. But that would only mean that when the yisoyim are gedolim, at that point, they would have an obligation to pay. What's unique about this discussion, and this Gemara could get confusing if the Yisoyimim aren't clear. What's unique about this discussion is that we're dealing with Yisoyimim Kitanim. And being that they're Kitanim, they're treated differently. Why are they treated differently? So it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't say it now. We're not going to get to that towards the latter part of the sugya. But for right now, we just have to accept that the Yisoyimim were treated differently when they're Kitanim. And we're not just going to go pay off that. We're not going to start selling off Nechasim. The only time we're going to do it is if there's a good reason. What's the definition of a good reason? That's just Machlokes Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. So again, when the Mishnah says, Shuma Yisoyimim Shloshim Yoyim, and Yisoyimim we said means Yisoyimim Kitanim, it certainly also means that. So if that's the case, we're discussing where there's a chayv of ribbis, because otherwise you have no right to go ahead and start paying off the chayvs. So who is the Baal Chayv? So the first choice would be a non-Jew, a Noivik Kechavim. But the Gemara says that mitzayas, what does mitzayas mean? So we need some help here. What mitzayas means is that, think about it. We said we're going to wait 30 days before we sell it. Why are we waiting 30 days? You want to try to get the best price. Maybe if you wait 30 days, somebody will offer you another $10, another $100, and maybe somebody will offer you more money. In the meantime, you're paying ribbis like a tatala, because if you weren't paying ribbis, that you wouldn't be in this situation in the first place, right? Because you wouldn't have a right to sell it. So does it make sense to hold off on behalf of the Yisoyimim? Right, you have all the bankers that are sitting down on behalf of the Yisoyimim, and we have to make a decision. On the one hand, this ribbis that's eating out of this estate, we can just sell off a piece of land and we can pay off the Baal Chayv and we'll be done with the ribbis. Or maybe wait 30 days and we'll get a better price. In the meantime, those 30 days that you're going to wait, you're going to end up paying more interest. So who said it's a good idea? Okay, so maybe what the Gemara means is, you ask the Oivik Kechavim, hold off for 30 days. 30 days, no ribbis. Do we have a deal? Now, if he says we have a deal, that's perfect. But the Gemara says, mitzayas, should we assume that the Oivik Kechavim is going to listen? Elop shi'it v'lal chav Yisrael. We're talking about a Yid. A Yid is going to listen, but the Gemara says, a Yid that's malva beribbis, ita ka'acha repusa, mishav kinoet. Meaning, if this is a Yid, then this is a moot conversation anyways, because you know what we tell the Yid? You're not allowed to charge ribbis. And the loan is going to be outstanding, and you're going to have to wait until these boys are bar mitzvah, until you get paid off, and bizdaval, you're not getting your ribbis anymore. Ela d'loy ka'acha ribbisa, elamai. It must be talking about Chav Yisrael, the wait 30 days, but because he's a yid, and there's no ribbis. Viktari niskakin, and the Mishnah says, you go ahead and you pay. It's bishlay nizokta gemar, it's a gishmaki gemar, the Rabbi Yochanan, bishlay koin to Rabbi Yochanan, that says, there's two times where we'll sell off the nechasim of the Yisayimim, there's two times where we'll pay off chayvis. What are the two times? Either a chayv sheyej by ribbis, or ksuvas isha, moikulab ksuvas isha. He'll say it's talking about ksuvas isha. Ela l'Rav Asi kasha, but according to Rav Asi, that ksuvas isha is not enough of a reason to sell off. Why not? Because although ksuvas isha, as long as it's outstanding, is costing the estate money, it's costing them the mezainis, but it's being offset with the ma'isi adayim that are coming back in. So says the Gemara, according to Rav Asi, the only time you ever sell off the nechasim is if there's ribbis. Who's the malva? If it's a yid, then you can't charge ribbis. Elamai, it's a guy. Is the guy going to wait 30 days? So the Gemara says, Omalach Rav Asi, so Rav Asi is going to tell you, Rav Yechanan mignicha, and according to Rav Yechanan, is it good? Mishaf kina mezoyni devadika mafsika, v'naktina nachrozat loya dina marvachina nilay marvachina. Said Rav Asi told Rav Yechanan, I don't understand. I don't think the Mishnah is so good according to you. Meaning, I think we both have to be miyash of this Mishnah. Don't tell me the Mishnah works according to you, doesn't work according to me. Because even according to you, why are we waiting 30 days? During those 30 days, the estate is paying and supporting the almana. So why is it okay to wait 30 days to maybe get a better price when in the interim it's costing you mezainis. But the Gemara says all like cash. Yechonah says, no, that doesn't bother me because I can always tell you to ask ksubasa bebezin. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about where she's not getting her mezainis anymore. One second, because she was teveir her ksuba. Ain't kibab yidom hashmul. I'm yidom hashmul. I tevask ksubasa bebezin. Ain't mezainis. Once a woman's teveir ksuba, but the Gemara says if you're holding cheshbon, if she was teveir her ksuba, so she's not getting mezainis. So then you can't sell the chasim anymore because the only reason we sell the chasim is because there's something eating out of the estate. What's eating out of the estate? The chiyah mezainis. Ihachi is the kuki loy mistakinela. The Gemara says, no. Kivan is the kinela mikarim mistakinela b'saif. No, that's not fair. You can't tell me that a woman who's teveya, her ksuba from the nechasim yisayimim, has a din of a tevas ksubasa that she's going to lose her mezainis. But at the same time, because they yisayimim, we're not going to sell off. So therefore, the halacha is that if she's tevas ksubasa from the nechasim yisayimim, kitanim, she gets her... So we sell the nechasim. At the same time, she loses her mezainis. But the point has been that she lost her mezainis, so we can wait 30 days because she's not getting her mezainis either way. Either way, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah could be talking about Shomai Yisayimim, we're selling it off. And the halacha is that we'll wait 30 days because even though, what do you mean, in the 30 days she's losing, the state's losing the mezainis, it's talking about when she was Tevas Ksubasa. Being that she's Tevas Ksubasa, she's not getting her mezainis anymore. But at the same time, she's entitled to her ksuba. So we'll try to get the best price. But according to Rav Asi, where you don't sell the nechasim for ksuba sisha, the only time you sell it is for a bal chayv. What type of bal chayv? A bal chayv with his ribbis. Lechura, the only time it's negei lechayra is if it's a guy. A guy, you're allowed to be malva beribbis. That's not an issue. But the problem is 30 days. The guy's not going to wait 30 days. So why are we waiting 30 days? Lechura, we're hurting the state. Why are we hurting the estate? Because he's going to pay ribbis for another month. Another month's interest. Wouldn't it make more sense to just get rid of these nechasim, get rid of the chayv, and just take care of it right away? In other words, mikamakim l'ravasi kasha? So the Gemara says, leilum b'chayv kechavim, shekibil olav ladim b'din Yisrael. Really, it's talking about what the b'chayv was a guy. And that's why there's ribbis. And he took upon himself that whatever the Jewish courts say, I'll go along with. Meaning, if they say no interest for 30 days, because... there's a 30-day shum process before we sell off the assets, we'll go along. But the Gemara says, if they're working B'dinei Yisrael, then this whole loan doesn't get started. Why? Because the Yachi Ribbis Nami Loi Lishko, they shouldn't be getting ribbis. So the Gemara says, Shekibil Olav Lezur, Olai Kibil Olav Lezur. This is the first of several times where the Gemara is going to make such an akimta, where basically we're talking about where the Malva was a non-Jew, he was a Malva B'ribbis, that's why we're selling, he's willing to wait the 30 days, he was Makabal, he says, oh, it's fine, I'll forego the interest for 30 days, I'll wait 30 days until you pay me off, but at the same time, as it relates to the actual ribbis that he still wants, and that's why we're selling the nechasim. Talk to Gemara Tashmas. Again, we have a Machlokes, Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. When is it that you're allowed to pay off the chayv of a deceased father on behalf of the Yisayimim Ketanim? According to Rav Asi, only if you're paying off a chayv sheyesh by ribbis. According to Rav Yochanan, it's other. Either a chayv sheyesh by ribbis or for ksubas ish. Talk to Gemara Tashma. In from the chasim, Elman Aziburis, and Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. When you pay off, then from the chasim of Yisayimim, you always pay from Ziburis. Meaning, the halacha is that Bal Chayv is Goyva min Abeninus. Stating that, when it comes to paying off a Chayv min Nechse Yisayimim, we don't pay from Beninus, we pay from Ziburis. Says the Gemara B'mayaskin. Ilayim Bal Chayv Avikichavim. Are we talking about a Bal Chayv Avikichavim Mitzos? Why is he going to take the Ziburis? Meaning, this halacha makes sense in the Jewish court. The Jewish court begins with a premise that Reuven and Shimon are standing in court. They both accept whatever the Jewish judge and jury are going to determine. So if they say that even though ordinarily Bal Chayv is Beninus, but when it comes to Nechse Yisayimim, it's Ziburis, so we can assume that they'll be able to enforce it. But the Shegetz that's standing in the Jewish court is not going to be masking to take Ziburis, right? Ziburis is the most inferior land that the Yisayimim own. They're not going to accept it. So obviously this halach of Ein Ephraim and Nichsi Yisayim Helam HaZibur is not talking about whether Bal Chayv is a guy. Because if he's a guy, he's not going to accept it. El Pshita, says the Gemara, right? Pshita means it's obvious. How else could you learn? The Bal Chayv Yisrael. It must be the Bal Chayv is a Yid. Now what's the question? If the Bal Chayv is a Yid, why are you paying off Nechasim? Or must be, because there's ribbis, right? Yachav Ribbusa, Mishav Gita, but if there's ribbis, then what do you mean? You shouldn't be charging him ribbis. El Adlo Yachav Ribbusa, Victorin Neskakin. So Bishlam the Rabbi Yechon, Bishlam according to Rabbi Yechon, again, we're not talking about a traditional bachay. We're talking about ksuvas isha. Elo, Rav Asi kasha. I'm the Rav Asi. Rav Asi is going to tell you. Rav Yechon and Icha is going good according to Rav Yechon. Iksuba. If we're talking about a ksuba, little ksubas yedias, my iria miyasmi. Then what's this chiddush that ain't from minichse yisoyim elamen aziburus? Afilu minedi deinami beziburus. The halach is even if you were collecting Not from Yisoyimim, the halacha would be ziburis. Because even though Balchayv is goyvim min habeninis, but ksubasish is min haziburis. Right? The halacha is that that when nezokim are goyvim min idiyas, the best, Balchayv is beninis, and ksubasish is always min haziburis. But the Gemara says, ho, loy, kasha, Rameir, you can always say the Mishnah's going to Rameir, the Amak ksubasish is beninis, that really ksubasish is always beninis, umiyas mi beziburis. And when it comes to Yisoyimim, over there it's going to be ziburis. So on Rabbi Yechon, that's not fair, because you could say the Mishnah that says, ain't from nixi Yisoyim. Elamin haziburis is talking about ksubas isha. But again, according to Rav Asi, that holds that you can't be goy from nixi Yisoyimim ptanim l'ksubas isha. The only time you can do it is if there's a real chayv, and even then, only if there's ribbis. So who's the malva? If it's a yid, then why is there ribbis? Elamai, it's an any Yehudi. If it's an any Yehudi, how can we force him to take ziburis? So how do you understand the Mishnah? So the Gemara, really, the Mishnah is talking about keep it all of the other in Israel. He said that whatever the Jewish courts say, I need to take, I'll take. Meaning, if they say ziburis, I'm willing to take ziburis. If he's willing to go bedine Israel, ribbis not be lizu. He shouldn't take ribbis. The Gemara says keep it lizu, for like keep it lizu. Tashma, a third tashma. The Gemara brought a brisa on the banim of the Avchof Aleph Amavay. So the Mishnah said, Shuma Yisoyim Shloishim Yoyim, Vishuma Hekne Shishim Yoyim. And then the brisa elaborated on a little bit. And one of the things that the brisa said was, is that we say specifically why it is we're selling off these nechasim. If it's Lebal Chayv, we say Bal Chayv. If it's Leksubas Isha, we say it's Leksubas Isha. Says the Gemara. Here it's Mefurish, right? It sounds like checkmate. Bishleim Lebal Chayv, Bishleim Lebal Chayv, Bein Mar, Kedishon, and that works. Eluksubasa. But it says Mefurish for Ksubasa. Bishleim the Rabbi Yochanan Nicha. Kun Rabbi Yochanan that says that we'll sell off the Nechasim of Yisoyimim Kitanim to pay off a Ksuba. It's very nice. El Ramasi Kasha. Meaning, isn't this Bryce and Mefurish that sometimes there'll be a Shumam Yisoyimim Fiksubas Isha, which is Mo'od Matim Im Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, but it's Tzorech Ian Gadoil at first glance on Shitas Ravasi. So that's the Gemara, a new wrinkle to the Sugya. Achav Mayaskinon, Kishachayev Moida. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about where the father before he died said that he did not pay off Fiksuba. Meaning, he could have technically paid it off while he was still alive, but he said he didn't. And being that he said Mefurish, the Chayev, meaning the father, was Moida, that it's outstanding, over there the halach is different. Meaning the only time we say that we don't go into the estate of the Nechasin, that's if we're not sure, we're a little insecure, we're a little paranoid. Maybe the loan's not even outstanding. But if the Chayev was Moida, we know for sure that the loan is outstanding. In that case, everything we said needs to be disregarded. And if that's the case, the brisa that says that for Ksuvas Isha, we make a Shuma Yisoyimim, we would pay Nechasim, I doesn't Rav Asi, you say we don't? Teretz is, ordinarily we don't. But if it was Chayev Moida, it's going to be different. Meaning, Chayev Moida is a game changer in this whole sugya. This whole sugya is when it wasn't Chayev Moida. But when it's Chayev Moida, we're always going to pay. Zok de Gemara, hash to dasis lahachi. Now that you're telling me that Chayev Moida is different, and the whole machlek is Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan was only kishein Chayev Moida, kulu nami kishein, they can't ask any kashas. Because the fact that you have a mission that says Shuma Yisoyimim, it's mashu you pay of chayvus. Hachabim Mayaskinu, where the man before he died said he owes the money. Not Ksubas Isha, regular chayv. You have a Mishnah that says, Ein from Yinichsi Yisoyim Elam Aziburis. And the question was, what do you mean? If the only time you're going to sell it off is if there's ribbis, it must be it's a guy. The guy's not going to accept the ribbis. No, it was a yid, and there was no ribbis. Well, if there's yid, there's no ribbis. I thought you don't pay off. Shachayim Maida. Sahashta the Asas Lahachi, you can go back and you can be Miyashiv, the Mishnah. Brisa number one, Brisa number two, the three Toshmas, the three bumbers that the Gemara asked on Rav Asi, they're all Miyoshev, because the whole Machleik is Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan are only Negeya, Kishein Chayev Moida. So if that's the case, just to recap for a moment. So really what we're holding right now is that ordinarily, it's not a Hefkervelt. Bezdin will not just go into the state of Yisoyim and Ketanin, take money or Nechasim, and pay off Chayvus. It's not something that they'll ordinarily. There has to be a very, very good reason for them to do it. And even though the father died and he had these liabilities and the Yisoyimim are obligated, and when the Yisoyimim are gedolim, they'll have to deal with it. But right now, the Ketanim, and because the Ketanim, it's different. That's the halacha. And we're going to treat them differently. Stating that, you have to read the fine print. There are times that we will do it. And where we're holding right now is what emerged is this three hechatimsis. Let's work backwards. Chayev Moida. If we know for sure that the man, before he died, said clearly, I owe this money, that changes everything. Why? We'll see in a moment. But for right now, that's the halacha. Because Chayev Maida, what if the Chayev wasn't Maida? So then, if it's a Chayev where there's ribbis that's eating out, So that would be an example of where we would do it. And we'll have to come on to Ikimtas of where it's Nogaya. But simply stated, if there's an outstanding chayv that has ribis, so it behooves us to sell off the nechasim just or pay off the loan, rather than be make and say, oh, we'll be very nice to the assignment, we're not going to pay off the loan. In the meantime, by the time the gdolim, there'll be accrued interest from here to wazoo. That's not kedai. So let's just go ahead and pay it off, and let's not have to deal with it. Right? So that would be the second time. The third time, which is really the subject of machlekes, Rav Asi and Rav Yechon, would be for ksubas isha. So sometimes we would do it for ksubas isha, sometimes we wouldn't do it for ksubas. I mean, it's machlekes. According to Rav Yoichanan, the ksubas isha for the mezainis, we would also pay it off. According to Rav Asi, now as it relates to Rav Yoichanan, Shita, Zokti Gemara, Merema, Agvi, ksuba, Ligurushim, and Echsidi Asmi, Merema once followed Rav Yoichanan's halacha. And he took money from a grusha. So this woman was a grusha and an amana. Nah, it's not really possible. But what it means is she was divorced and she wanted to collect her ksuba. And by the time she got around to collecting her ksuba, her husband that divorced her had already died. And now she was collecting it from the yisayim. So she was a grusha that was collecting it from the yisayim. Merema followed Rabbi Yechanan Shita, and he said that, yeah, we're going to pay off the ksuba. Amalei Ravina la'amemar. So Ravina told Amemar, or Meremar, v'amar Rabbi Yudamar, Rav, ain't it's called, and lichsi yisayim, elkan yis riba, echelas behen. Now, Rabbi Yechanan, oymar, oylo shtash yesh per ribas, oylo ksuba sishim, shum yisayini. What was the kasha? Vafilu Rabbi Yechanan, like, kame elab amano. Even Rabbi Yechanan only said it by amano, why? They come after the mizayini. Because the amano, her, being that she's being supported by the estate, that's like the proverbial ribis. So we feel that it's worthwhile to pay off the ksuba so that the mezainis won't eat out of the estate. Avol grusha loy amar, but grusha loy, here it's different. Why? Because the grusha is anyways not getting from the estate. What's unique about the grusha almana is that she's not being supported. An almana gets supported. Almana mezainis benetzi yisayim. But being that this woman was a grusha before she was an almana, so she's not entitled to support anymore. So if she's not being supported, even Rabbi Yochanan would hold that there's no reason that we should pay her. We had a different version of Rabbi Yochanan. I know that, I've heard this. I know that some say over that the reason Rabbi Yochanan said that you'll take money from the nechasim of the yisayim ketanim to pay of ksubas isha, it's because of the mezainis. That's the proverbial ribis. We have another mesayra in what Rabbi Yochanan meant. And it had nothing to do with the mezainis. It was mishum chino. We wanted that women should want to get married. And part of the incentive for a woman to get married is that she knows that if her husband ever dies, she gets ksuba. And in the event, you're going to make it too difficult for her to collect her ksuba. It may disincentivize her from getting married. So mishum chino, that she should want, mishum chen, to get married, that's why we impose certain kulas. Even though ordinarily we don't go to the assignment, but mishum chino we do. And being that it's mishum chino, we do it mezaynes, even a grusha almana would have the same halach. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, may reisha loy have a mistakik no benech ni yisrael. I used to be very machmer, like the aforementioned sugya, Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan. I used to never collect money from yisrael. That'd be a very good reason. That's the whole daf. But then I heard something in the name of Rav Huna, Unzer Chaver Rav Huna, who said over in the name of his greater Rebbe Rav, he said, Yasmin the Achli, the way to do, a Yisoyman who eat from food that's not theirs, lazily basa shifgayu. They should go together with their deceased father. I mean, they should die together with their fathers. And then already I had a whole different hashkafa. I looked at it differently. Meaning, I used to feel also, why are you going into the next yisai miktanim? It's a big kula. But I realize it's not a kula. You know why it's not a kula? Because if the father owes money and there's an outstanding loan, then why should these children be eating from something that's not theirs? So I used to go ahead and I changed my whole perspective. So this is another shita. There's another shita. So till now we said, you don't just go ahead to the nechasim of the yisayim ketanim, unless chayv moida or ribis achelas bem, or koin krav yoichanan ksubas isha, is the pshat of ksubas isha mishom zaynis or mishom chino. But till now it's a very lomdish sugya. But zokti gemara, Rav Nachman said that I see this differently. Rav Nachman, I used to feel the same way, but then I came around. Because I heard that Rav said that it's not good for yisayim to be eating from things that their father left them that wasn't really their father's. And as a result, I took a whole different approach on the whole thing. Says the Gemara. So Rav Nachman said that I used to be very machmer, meaning I didn't just go ahead and take money from the yisayim, and then I came around. Me kara my time aloy. Why was he originally machmer? Meaning, why did Rav Nachman originally feel that you don't just go ahead and take money from the yisayim? Now, the truth is, this question we could have asked, and we really did ask, at the beginning of the daf. I mean, this is the big question in the sugya. Why don't we go to the nechasim of the yisayim and ketanim? Right, so till now we're discussing the exceptions to the rule. What are the exceptions to the rule? Ribbis, chaybayt. But why the rule? What is the svara that underpins this rule? Why is it that the nechasim of the yisayim and ketanim for some reason, we're not going to go ahead and we're not going to take from. Now, instead of asking the question in a more general way on the entire sugya, the Gemara pointed the question at Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman initially agreed with the sugya. Then he had a whole different, he had a hashkafa shniya on the sugya. And the Gemara is posing the question on Rav Nachman for some reason. Either way, says the Gemara, mikar my time aloy. But again, it's really a question on the whole sugya. I'm Rapapa. Rapapa said, because priyas b'chayv mitzvah. Because to pay off a chayv is a mitzvah. It's all it is a mitzvah. If somebody lends you money, whether you do or don't pay, it boils down to a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to pay. Priyas b'chayv mitzvah. The yasmi labnei mitzvah. No, we're dealing with ketanim, like we said. They're not bar mitzvah yet. If they're not bar mitzvah, they have no obligation. They have no obligation to pay off the chayv because they're labnei mitzvah. So that's a good reason not to do it. Now, if there's a really good reason, okay. But you want to know why the pashtus is not to pay off from the Yisoyim and Ketanim, because the whole obligation to pay off a loan is based on mitzvah, and the Yisoyimim, being that they are Ketanim, are labnei mitzvah. From the Brit of Yeshua, Amar, emet sorry, it's for a different reason. You know why? Because we start getting paranoid. We start assuming that maybe the loan is really not outstanding. Maybe the father paid off the loan, and he never got a chance to get back the shtar chayv. You know, maybe he gave him some and he never got the loan back. And being that he never got the loan back, so really it's paid off. Meaning we're concerned that maybe the loan is not really outside. Maybe not. What's the difference between two shots? The one is very simple. You can have a shchayv moida. What if the father said before he died, I owe? So if it's because of tzrori atvasa, he admit that the loan is outstanding. If it's because of priyas b'chayv mitzvah, it doesn't matter that he admit that he owes the money. At the end of the day, the yisraelim are not obligated to do a mitzvah. Inami, a similar nafgamina, where shamtua, where this person, Bezdin, was already trying to get money out of him, and he never paid it. They put him in Cherem, Umeis Peshamte. And we know for a fact that Bezdin never took him out of Cherem before he died. So obviously, what that means is that the loan must be outstanding. Sholchu mitam, de shamtua, Umeis Peshamte. They said from Bavel that the real reason of why we don't collect from the Yisoyimim is because of the second time the Gemara gave Rafuna Bereder of Yeshua, and the Nafkamina would be the Shamtua Meis Peshamte. In other words, Vilchus Rafuna Bereder of Yeshua, that in that case, where it was Shamtua Meis Peshamte, we would go ahead and we would collect from the Yisoyimim. So before we go Vaita, and the Gemara is going to now analyze this machloik is Rav Pop and Rafuna Bereder of Yeshua. So we have two reasons as to why it is we don't just go ahead and collect from the Nechasim of the Yisoyimim Titan. So again, the first part of the daf was discussing the exceptions to the rule when we do collect from them. The second part of the daf is discussing the underlying halacha, which is why is it that we don't collect from them? The why. Why is it that we don't collect from them? The Gemara gave two reasons. Either because of priyas b'chayv mitzvah, or because of emet zori atvasei, we're concerned that maybe the loan is really not outstanding. Maybe the father really paid off the loan. The Gemara said, what's the nafgamina b'shachayv moida? So two things. Number one, it's clear that Rav Asi, at least, in the previous sugya, held like Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. Because the Gemara had three kashas in Rav Asi. And the Gemara said, Hashto the Asas Lahachi, the easy way to get out of Rav Asi and all of these tashmas and the kashas on Rav Asi was to make an akimta and say that those brises and the Mishnah is talking about Shechayiv Moida. Shechayiv Moida only works according to Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. Because Shechayiv Moida doesn't work according to Rav Papa. If that's the case, it's obvious that Rav Asi and the previous sugya was going according to Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, that emet zori atvasei. That's the first tara. The second tara is, what's the shaila of priyas b'chayv mitzvah? This is just a mitzvah. So if somebody lends you money, so now your obligation to pay is just mitzvah? Isn't there something called a shibud, right? When you have a shibud, you lend somebody money, now you have a shibud, and this is the chasim. Mitzvah is the taich. Are the yisoyim mechuyv to take dalad minim? Do they have to put on tefillin? That's a mitzvah. I mean, that it's a mitzvah. They're not chayv in mitzvahs yet, but this is different. This is different. This is not just a mitzvah. Here there's a shiva, there's a lien on the estate. So you would think that the lien would make an impact. So the truth is, the Gemara doesn't discuss it here, but the Gemara discusses this in different places in Shas. And the Gemara says that this machloik is Rav Papa, and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua is really totally in a different shaila. Shibuda deiraisa, or shibuda lav deiraisa. Rav Papa, who said, priyas b'chayv mitzvah, he holds shibuda's lav deiraisa. And he holds, there really is no shibud. There is a concept of shibud. There's shibud throughout Shas, but that's only midrabban. But the only obligation is the mitzvah. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, who didn't work with priyas b'chayv mitzvah, what do you mean? Priyas b'chayv mitzvah is a good taina. The teretz is, it's because there is a real shibud. And being that there's a real shibud, shibud is deiraisa. So as a sub machlokes, Rav Papa, Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, as a derivative machlokes, whether shibud is deiraisa or shibud is lav deiraisa. It's worth mentioning Rav Chaim Briska's kasha. According to Rav Papa, there's no such thing as shibud m'deiraisa. So if somebody lends you money, the only obligation you have to pay him back is the same obligation you have to take dalad minim. It's because there's a mitzvah. But from a financial, from a shibud, from a lien perspective, there's absolutely nothing. So Chaim's kasha was, what if somebody lends somebody $100 and this person only has $200? So the halach is you have to give him $100. What's the shayla? Frank Reb Chaim, why? Why don't you say, ha-mevazvez, al yevazvez, yoyseh v'chaymesh? It's a mitzvah. If you owe somebody, if you have $200, $100 to your name, and you want to buy dalad minim, and the dalad minim costs $50, you don't buy it. Because ha-mevazvez, al yevazvez, up to $20, you'll pay. More than that, not. So if there's something called shibud, it's not just my negelt. But if shibud is not deiraisa, and the whole obligation that you ever have to pay off a loan is because of Pirus Bachoy Mitzvah, it's a chabtzach and afkimimim. Yisoyim and Ketanim don't have to pay loans. Even kishachayev moida, they don't have to pay loans. Because it's a mitzvah, I don't have to do mitzvahs. When I put on tefillin, then I'll start paying off my father's loans. Right? That's what the Yisoyim are tiny, and they have a right to say that. Because all of it, so it's a mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah, it works with the gedarim of mitzvahs. If it works with the gedarim of mitzvahs, then why don't you say, ha-mevazvez al-yevazvez, yosim chayim, there's a lot to talk about, maybe tomorrow's stop. But either way, it's up to Gemara Vayta, Tanan. So in light of this machloikis, between Rav Papa, Rav Ingrid, Rav Yeshua, we're going to revisit the Mishnah and the two brises, the Toshmas that we discussed in Amud Aleph. Shuma Yisoyim Shloishim Yoyim, Vishoma Hekdesh Shishim Yoyim, Umachrizim Babayku Bab. My asking, what's the Mishnah talking about? Ilim Bal Chayv Avikichavim. Are we talking about a Bal Chayv Avikichavim Mitzahs? He's not going to wait 30 days. Elipshit of Bal Chayv Yisrael. It's Pasha, we're talking about a Bal Chayv Yisrael. Bishlam and Rafun Abrey Rav Yeshua. Bishlam and Koin Rafun Abrey Rav Yeshua. I understand why we're going ahead and we're selling off the Nechasim. Bishachayv Maida. There's an easy answer. Like the Gemara made you a Kimta on Amud Aleph. Right, the Gemara said, "Hashda the asas lahachi." The Mishnah is b'shachayev moida. So according to Ravun the Brei Rav Yeshua, kishachayev moida, the Yisoyim Ketanim have to pay because shibud is deiraisa. It's only because of emetzori akvasa. So that will be the akim to el Rav Papa kasha. But according to Rav Papa lachura, we have a kasha. Why? What's the kasha? Why are we paying off the nechassim? Amalach Rav Papa iba yisayim k'subim shomchina. If you could say it means k'suba, iba yisayim b'alchoy v'avi kechavim shekibel olav on the b'din Yisrael, or kibel olav lintelu ad the godly shekibel olav v'zuba like v'gil olav v'zuba. In other words, or you could say it's talking about where the balchoy was on avi kechavim and he's charging ribbis. And the point is to get the ribbis out of the way, we'd go ahead and we would pay. It's the same akimtas that the Gemara made on Amud Aleph. On Amud Aleph, the Gemara was looking at it from the standpoint of the Machlokes Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan. How does the Mishnah stem with Rav Asi? Over here, the Gemara is looking at it from the standpoint of Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua. How does it stem with Rav Papa? But at the end of the day, we end up in the same place. There's three ways you can learn the Mishnah. Either Kishachayev Maida, or with the Balchayev was a Oivik Echavim, and there's Ribbis Echelespen, or Ksubasisha, according to Rav Yochanan, where you could sell off the Nechasim of the Yisayim and Mishum Ksubasisha. Toshma. Amanas Litin Lisha Ksubasa. The Braisa said that when they make the announcement, they specify, are we selling off the Nechasim to pay off a Ksuba, or are we doing it just to pay off a Chayv? Who's this Bal Chayv? Is it a non-Jew? Mitzayis? Why is he waiting around for us? You can pay off loans, but according to Rav Papa, you can't pay off a Ksuba Mishum Chino. That I understand. So the Gemara says, really, it's Bal Chayv Avikechavim, because you keep it all of the in Israel. So about where he took upon himself to wait the 30 days. If he took upon himself to wait, then why doesn't he just wait till he's bar mitzvah? Because that's what a yid would have to do. He'd have to wait till he's bar mitzvah. So why doesn't he wait? The Gemara says, he's willing to wait 30 days, but he's not willing to wait longer than 30 days. Excel. So instead of going right there, really finishing the daf, we'll pick up the end of the daf tomorrow. Let's just end with one ha'ara. And that is, so we're discussing, the theme of today's daf is the halacha of nichse yisoyim. And this concept that the Yisoyim and Ketanim were treated differently in Halacha, and that ordinarily, although you would think that if a man dies, he leaves over an estate with assets and liabilities, just like the Yisoyim get the assets, they should be responsible for the liabilities. Stating that when it comes to the Yisoyim of the Ketanim, this Halacha is, today's daf we saw, we don't pay off the, unless it's Ribbis Eicheles, or it's Chayiv Maida, and what's the reason? Tzrari Atvisa. Really, Tzrari Atvisa is a very big Kiddush, because by Gedolim, meaning if the Yisoyim were bar mitzvah, you could also be concerned Eimetzrori Atvisa, but we're not. These are kulois, these are special kulois that the Chachamim instituted when it comes to dealing with Yisoyim and Ketanim. The question is why? So Pasha, you learn, it's halacha. It's halacha of Yisoyim and Ketanim. Now the truth is, before the Pasha, why? The truth is, you find this in other places in Shas as well. So for example, Haboli Parah Menechsi Yisoyim, Leiti Parah Ala B'Shvua. So, It's with Rachmanis that we're allowing this Bal Chayv to even take money from the Yisoyim of Ketanim. So now he's already at the point where he was able to check off one of the three boxes. He's coming to collect. Even then, like the par al b'shvu, shvu the rabbanan, not shvu they write so. But abal yipar minechsi yisoyim like the par al b'shvu. I'll tell you a bigger chiddush. You know the Gemara says in Perek Ezer Neshech that if yisoyimim have money, the apotropos is allowed on behalf of the yisoyimim to lend the money beribis, according to someone ribis they write so. For sure, ribis the rabbanan. Why? It's a kula for the yisoyim. So you have a lot of interesting kulas when it comes to the money of the yisoyim. And again, poshit, it's yisoyimim ktanim. These are kulois in the laws of ksuba and ribis and in the laws of chayshim mishpat, etc., etc. Stating that, the chinuch, in Sefer HaChinuch, in mitzvah samachay, says an unbelievable chiddush. He's going on the pasuk in the Torah in Parashas Mishpatim. The pasuk is talking about a yasim and almana. It says, kol almana v'yasim loisa anu. Why? Im ani sa'anu oisoi. Because if you're going to cause pain to a yasam or an almana, ki im tsoi gitzak ilai, if he's going to scream out to me, shamaya eshmatzak asa, v'chara api, Hashem says I'm going to be very angry, v'harakti eschem b'charov, v'hayu nesheichem almanois, uvnechem yasoim. Very scary. But either way, says the Torah, kol almana v'yasam loisa'anu. And the chinuch, in Sefer HaChinuch, in mitzvah samach, he talks about this idea, and it says you have to have rachmanis for the yasam, the almana. The yasam doesn't have a father, Hashem is davia yasoimim. So if somebody starts up with the yasam, Davia Yisoyimim, that's this pasuk. V'chara api v'rachi yeschem v'charev v'yu n'sheichem almanes v'nechem Yisoyimim. Ayin Ramban on that pasuk, Rabbeinu Bachan on that pasuk, the chinuch mitzvah samachay v'hadvarim atikin. Says the chinuch, as he's discussing this concept, he says, with this idea you could understand many, many halachas in Shas. For example, aboli par minechsi Yisoyimim leiti par ala b'shvua. He says, you know why? It comes from the same place. Because really it comes from that you have to treat the yasim differently. The heich says the midinei ha-mitzvah. Masha omru zachroinam levrachash. Afilu al-menasei shal melech. Fi yasim av ba'azor azu. The heich noya gemimon. Shalei nedabri ilayim elu rakos. Vela yinag adam bahem elu minik kovoid. Vela yachiv gufam ba'avoid av lay albinam. Umip viyachas al-memoinam yoysir mimam ein atzman. Umip neize omru chazal. Shabol yiparam im memoinam. Afal pishiyosh shpiyadei shtar mekuyin. Lo yipare elu v'shvu. Masha im ki ma'acha. You don't find this anywhere else. And it's a whole, he brings a whole bunch of halachas that relate to Yisoyim. You know what the reason for treating Yisoyim differently is when it comes to these halachas? It's based on this concept. It's based on this idea of kol almana v'yasim loisa anon. Being that kol almana v'yasim loisa anon, it's for that reason you have to treat them differently. A lot of these lashonas that the chinuch quotes, as they often are, come from the Rambam. Right? Very often the lashon hachinuch is really the lashon Rambam. Again, let's just read it from the Rambam. Chayiv adam liyizar b'yasim v'almanos v'pnei shenafshon shvelo l'ma'oid. Verucham namaycha. Afa pishayim bali ma. Even if they have money, it has nothing to do with how much money they have. Afilu almanase shal melech. V'yisaimim shal melech. Musharim anu aleim. Shenemak kol almana biyasam leisa anu. Eichna yegini ma'em. Lo yidabre aleim ele rakus. V'lo yinig bahem ele min a kovet. V'lo yachiv gufam ba'avoyed. V'lo yidibam bedvar. V'yachis almamoynam. Yoisim imam and atzman. That's the punchline as it relates to our sugya. And the chinuch brings this lashon. V'yachis almamoynam. Yoisim imam and atzman. Really, if you think about it, a brisket deer. What does it mean, the yachas al mamayna? I've had you have to be careful with other people's money. That's like sigzol, that's like signai. That's the whole chayshah mishpah. It's mavur that al manavi yasoim loisa anon is mechayiv of a yachas al mamayna that transcends the ordinary laws of chayshah mishpah. But two doses on the sugya, right? That's the sugya. Ordinarily, it's not an issue. But being that there's halacha v'yachas ha-mamoynam, yoysim imam and atzman, so that's mechayiv halacha, it's a chayish mishpah. Because if all it means is you have to be careful with the yasim's money, you have to be careful with everybody's money. So what does it mean you have to be careful with the yasim's money? The teretz is there's a chiddush nosefes when it comes to the money of the yasim. Of v'yachas ha-mamoynam, yoysim imam and atzman. But the point is, says the chinuch, based on this lashon harambam, that this idea of really the spirit of our sugya is not so much a chayish mishpah halacha. It's more based on a psukim in Parshas Mishpatim called Almana v'yasim loisa anu. They have to be very, very careful when it comes to treating a yasim anu. The chinuch asks one bambakasha. And that is, if that's the case, all these halachas shouldn't only be true by yasimim. They should be true by almana as well. And you don't find anywhere haboli para minichse almana leiti para ala b'shvua. It's a freak, the michas chinuch bishlam. If it's a din in yasimim, okay, it's a din in yasimim. But being that the chinuch was mechadish, it's related to this pasuk called almana v'yasim loisa anon. So how come you only find this by yasimim? How come you don't find the same thing by almana? That's the michas chinuch's kasha in mitzvah samachet. But me'inyan le'inyan, I'll just tell you one ha'ara. I saw in the sefer Teferes Shimshon, Rav Shamshon Pinkus, so he says that although it's clear from the Rishonim and even the Pesukim that the pasuk is talking about the Amana and the Yosin. Kol Amana v'Yosin loisa anan. But take a look at Rashi. Rashi says something very interesting. Says Rashi, Kol Amana v'Yosin loisa anan, hu adin l'chol adam. It's not only true for Yosin and Amana. Really, it's true for every person. Elos shedibur akasa b'hoiva. The Torah just mentioned loisa anan by Yosin and Amana because they're vulnerable. And usually, if somebody's going to start up with somebody, you don't start up with somebody powerful. You start up with somebody that you feel that you can start up with, right? That's the way bullies are. They bully people that they feel they can bully. So when the Torah said, Amana v'yasam leisa anon, and the Torah is saying, don't shepherd with them, it doesn't mean dafka the yasam and the amana. It's dibra kasa v'haifa. L'fi she'em teshushe kayach v'dover matzui la'anoysam. Right? Where else do you find dibra kasa v'haifa? You find it a lot. So for example, shor shenagach. Right, the Torah says, Ki gach shor is, why shor? So Rashi, it's a Mishnah in the Sechus Bava Kamba. It's not only a shor, really it's a kelev. Any animal that shtoises you have in the Sechus Bava Kamba. It's not only an ox that gores. Dibra kasa b'haifa. Ox usually gores. But it doesn't have to be that. But says Rosham Shem Pinkus, that what's the spirit of this halacha? That you see from here that there's a concept. You see from this halacha that there's an idea. That there's an idea that really you're never allowed to be ma'an anybody. This concept called yosim v'amana v'yosim leisa anu is not only true for the amana and the yosim. It's true for anybody. It's just deeper. The reason the Torah says the yosim l'amana is for the same reason it says ki gach sharish earlier in Parshas Mishpatim. Deeper akasa b'haiva. But it's not necessarily that. And then Rav Sham Shem Pinkus goes on and he gives a whole Musa Shmuz. He says that people's tendency is that the more mechubed a person is, right, the wealthier he is, the more powerful he is, the more chashiv he is, the bigger the Talmud Chacham he is, the more we're inclined to be mechabed. That's right. Chashiv, a person walks into your house, you can give him a lot of covet. That's just the way it is. People are mechabed people that are mechubedig a mention. And when someone's not a mechubedig a person, the derech is not to. He says, that's what this pasuk is coming to say. Kol amana v'yosin leisa'anun. Of course, the pasuk is talking about a yosav and amat. It's the end of the pasuk. B'chara api v'arachti yeschem b'chara v'ayin esheichem amonis uvneichem yosav. Clearly, we're talking about the yosav and amonis. But Rashi says, dibra akasav b'hoiva. It's just an example of this halacha. And the Torah had to go out of its way and to make sure that you don't start up with the Yosef and Amana because they're the vulnerable people and they're the ones that chances are you're going to go ahead and you're going to start up with. But the point is, he says, the spirit of this halacha is that we're inclined to look out for the people that are cooler and the people that are more powerful and the more mechubedig. And really, it's a hazara in the Torah. You have to be just as careful, you have to make sure you mechabed everybody equally. And there's no concept of being mechabed only the mechubedig people, but someone that's the poshiti yid, so to speak, that person you're not going to speak to so respectfully, you're not going to notice him, you're not going to give him covet. Every single person has to get equal covet. That's Reb Sham Shem Pinkus' Musa Shmuz right here on this part. Then he gives one example. It's fascinating. It's a small piece, one page here in the Sefer Teferes Shimshon and Parshas Mishpatim. And he gives one example. He says, V'chein nohaga Rambam. Interesting. He says, this is what the Rambam did. And he quotes from the Rambam's letter. So this is well known. But he quotes this from the Rambam's letter. In quotations. This is the Rambam talking. The Rambam was a doctor. Everybody knows that. So the Rambam says that when he'd go to his medical practice, so to speak, he said there were lines out the door of people that needed medical treatment. And they needed advice. They needed chizik. He says, Ve'etzei aleim lefaisam. I would go out to them and I would try to appease them. U'leratzois u'lechalois pinet. Listen to this. So the Rambam was busy, right? Right? The Rambam was busy, you think? So the Rambam has lines of people waiting outside. And the Rambam says it broke his heart. It broke his heart to watch people waiting for him. So it says he would walk outside, b'chvoidoi va'atzmon. This is the Rambam. Ve'etzei aleim lefaisam, u'leratzois, u'lechalois p'neim, k'dei limcho la'al k'voidam l'ham t'noisi. K'dei ch'uchel achila saroi. I would say, Yud, I'm sorry you have to wait for me. I apologize. And I'm going to take a little break now. I have to eat something. I have to eat achila saroi, mi me'es leis, from time to time. And I feel bad. I need to eat. So, zatz moichel, and wait, and I'll be with you shortly. Ve'etzei l'rapoisam. He didn't send the secretary. He went himself. And then I would help them out and I would see what their medical condition is and I would, you know, diagnose them. People did not stop coming and going until the night. So sometimes into the wee hours of the morning, literally into the night already. I would sit and talk to them. Sometimes I would be lying. I was so tired. He said, I gave up so much of my time. There were times I couldn't even talk. I was so weak. This is the Rambam writing. Either way, so he says, Rav Sham Shem Pinkus, this is the Rambam. He would go out, there'd be lines of people waiting to talk to him. And he felt so bad that they had to wait for him that he would ask them, Rabbi Yitzhak Tzmoichel, I'm sorry that you have to wait for me. So we know so much about the Rambam's Torah, the Yad Chazaka, and the philosophy of the Rambam's Moira, and the Pirush HaMishnayis of the Rambam. But either way, here you have the Hasidus of the Rambam. It's unbelievable. So just to end, Mi'inyan Le'inyan Ba'isa'inyan, I saw in the Sefer, Oitzer Hayedias, from Rabbi Yechiel Mechel Stern. So he says, it's in, if you want to see it, inside, if you have the Sefer, it's a Chelek Beis, it's Perek Reish Yud Beis. So he brings from the Sefer Tzedel L'Derech. In his Hakdama, he says about the Rambam, quote, so he's talking about the Rambam. V'hayo chassid gadol, noisef al chachmasa. So in addition to being a chacham, he was a chassid gadol, v'nadiv, he was a nadiv, u'balach sanya, and he was a machnes oyer. V'asa pundik gadol, and he had a soup kitchen. This is the Rambam. So in addition to all the Chachma and all the Torah, the Rambam was a doctor that we know, and he gave up of his time, and he treated each person like he was the most chashuv person in the world, and he was a machnas oirach, and he had a soup kitchen. This is hashtag the rest of the story.